This episode was translated from a German interview with AI.
We have a very good relationship with our customers. On-time delivery is absolutely crucial for us, not just within our own operations, but also for our customers. This means the customer can rely on what we confirm to them. In other words, we stick to the delivery times we specify. And what's very important is that we also have to be flexible. Customers have varying requirements that can change during those 8 weeks or during the time between order receipt and delivery because we're in the project business, which means a project might be moved up or postponed. So we have to build in a certain degree of flexibility from the start, and that requires a very good customer relationship.
Welcome to a new episode of MIBA Insight, the tech podcast from MIBA for all MIBA customers, colleagues, and everyone who is passionate about technologies for a cleaner planet. Here we talk about what you normally don't see. The technology inside engines, trains, ships, wind turbines, hydroelectric power plants, power grids, and much more. Our experts from MIBA explain how our components contribute to making products and applications safer, more reliable, and more energy efficient. And they also show why we are world leaders in many of these specialized areas of technological development. Today we're talking about a technology that some of us may already be familiar with, brazing. Some of you might have even done soldering or brazing in craft lessons in school. But the brazing we're talking about today isn't that simple. It's actually vacuum brazing. So, what's it used for? What gets vacuum brazed and where? Spoiler alert, it is produced in a furnace, but we'll get to that later. Three specialists from MIBA Cooling Austria, who are my guests today, will answer that. First, Andreas Frumann, he's the production manager. Welcome.
Hello.
Then there is Samuel Wallner. He's a specialist in vacuum brazing technology and knows the ovens down to the smallest detail.
Hello.
And Stephanie Pölzl. She heads the supply management at MIBA Cooling Austria and therefore has direct contact with customers and suppliers. Hello, it is nice to have you here as well.
Hello, thank you.
My name is Ortrun Schandl and I'm happy to guide you through this podcast. To begin, we'd like to get to know you a little better, so here are a few quick questions. To each of you in turn, how long have you been with MIBA? Andreas, let's start with you.
I've been with MIBA Cooling Austria for almost 9 years now. I started in March 2017 as production manager, a position I have held ever since. I may be the oldest in this group, but not the longest serving.
Well, I've been with the company for, I think, 14 years now in this September. I started with an apprenticeship as an industrial clerk. And yes, since February 1st, 2025, I've been working as head of supply chain management.
Great. What about you, Samuel?
As Andreas mentioned at the beginning, he is not the longest serving member here. That's me in this case. I've been with the company for 16 years now. I started in research and development as a lab technician. For a few years, I was responsible for development management at the site, but because of interest and the need for a process technician in the VB area, which means in vacuum brazing, I've now focused entirely on that, and I've been doing it for about a year now.
You've all been with MIBA for a very long time, actually. 9 years, 14 years, 16 years. So there must be something about this company. What do you like most about it? Steffi, maybe we can start with you.
Yes, what I like most is definitely that it's very diverse, especially in my position. I deal with suppliers. I deal with customers, but we are also connected throughout the company as interfaces in sales and production. It's just fun to work with the team, and I think that's the most important thing, enjoying your work, making progress, and learning about new technologies. There's always something new happening every day.
The company is based in Liegest, Styria. Is it also an advantage for you that it's close to where you live?
Exactly. For me, it's 2 minutes to work, so it's definitely a big advantage to be so close to the company.
I'm about 15 minutes away, so proximity is definitely a factor. But it's also the variety in what we do. The product portfolio has changed so much over the years that we're always developing and restructuring. With our partnership with MIBA Electronics Slovenia, we can now fully focus on vacuum-brazed heat sinks. We're getting more interesting and larger series, which lets us invest in new technologies like automation, a new washing system, and a new furnace.
That means the day is challenging and varied for you all. That's what you enjoy. Samuel, what about you?
A lot has already been said, but for me, it's the diversity of the work. I originally came from electrical engineering and moved into process engineering through development. I've had to learn a lot about the methods involved in vacuum brazing, so it's a really broad field. The location also offers great opportunities for further development. And honestly, the team makes a big difference. I've worked at other companies and the fun, relaxed atmosphere here is something you don't find everywhere.
Very nice. So you build vacuum brazed heat sinks, as we've already mentioned, and these are brazed or finished in a brazing furnace. And before we get to this brazing furnace, we need to take a step back, or actually even forward, to the end product. Where can you find such heat sinks?
Wherever large amounts of electricity are transported and high power output is required, heat is generated and must be dissipated. To give an example, we use our heat sinks in the frequency converters of electric train systems at wind farms for transporting electricity from offshore power plants.
So they're used together with power electronics, right?
Exactly.
And those need to be cooled. There are several ways to cool such switchgear substations or other equipment. You also make other types of heat sinks, like air coolers or heat pipes. Samuel, what is the advantage of vacuum-brazed heat sinks?
I'd say the biggest advantage is their extremely long lifespan. We're talking more than 20 years. They're also very robust when it comes to internal pressures. And importantly, they can dissipate a lot of energy in a very small area. So wherever you have high currents, you get high power losses, and those need to be managed. And when it comes to reliability, like with offshore wind turbines, where you can't just go out and replace a part in the middle of the sea, it's crucial that these components just work year after year.
So you can say that this is the world champion among heat sinks. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, I'd say that's accurate.
Are there specific cases where this technology is really the only option? You mentioned offshore wind farms. Are there other places where only vacuum-brazed heat sinks will do?
In some applications, the installation space is very limited, and especially in those cases, the vacuum-brazed heat sinks are ideal because they offer high cooling performance in tight spaces.
Steffi, how does that work with customers? I assume there are different models of heat sinks. A train probably needs something different than an offshore wind farm. How does the collaboration with the customer work? Do they come to you with a problem? Or do you suggest solutions?
Well, both scenarios exist. It's always a solution we develop together with the customer. Of course, it often happens that the customer already has an existing concept or at least knows where the heat sink will be installed. But the underlying structure or the structure within the heat sink is then designed, simulated, and tested by us. Basically, we only offer custom solutions. Every customer gets a product tailored to their needs. Our designers and engineers work closely with the customer from the very beginning.
A quick question about quantities. So if these are such customized solutions,
orders can range from just one or two units for samples up to tens of thousands per year for a single type.
You already mentioned that all colleagues from MIBA Cooling Austria are working together from the start to finish. When a new product is developed, what disciplines are on the team? What qualifications do you need to work here? And how does it benefit you to have people from different backgrounds?
I think it starts with technology and goes all the way to business roles. For example, I'm currently studying industrial economics part-time, which is helping me a lot. We have colleagues in R&D from mechanical and electrical engineering backgrounds. Samuel, for example, started in electrical engineering.
Right, I started in electrical engineering, learned the trade at vocational college, and did further training. I joined the company. Back then, it was Dow in R&D, working in the lab, setting up measurements, and having a solid foundation in electrical engineering was essential. I was able to do an apprenticeship alongside my job and studied electrical engineering for energy technology. This let me dive deep into topics like EGPTs, high current transmission, how wind turbines work, etc. And that, of course, helped me a lot, but it also helped the company because it's a two-way street. On the one hand, you learn a lot at school that you can apply in the company, but also in the other direction, you can simply bring a lot of experience from the company back to school to gain a much better understanding.
What did you study at technical college?
At technical college, I studied technical computer science and electronics, but then switched to mechanical engineering production technology at university.
How did these different backgrounds help you?
Even today, especially nowadays with lots of processes being automated and a lot of development happening regarding software, training in computer engineering has been very helpful.
So even if someone feels like they're in the wrong school, you can always find a way.
The path is always the right one. You can always take a different direction, but what you have learned stays with you and will also be useful.
Very good. So let's move on to vacuum brazing. It's a very specialized technology you have there in Ligist, Styria, right?
Vacuum brazing is a very special technology and not very common even for aluminum parts. There are other methods as well. To be quite honest, they aren't as environmentally friendly and they can't deliver the same quality. Vacuum brazing itself, as I've already mentioned, is a very clean technology, because the parts are brazed almost exclusively under the protective atmosphere of a vacuum. This means no oxygen reaches the components, preventing oxidation. Therefore, no additives like flux are needed, and flux is usually very toxic, which is something we naturally want to avoid.
So you have two parts that are soldered, brazed, together?
Exactly. We have a milled part, where the cooling channels are created, and a lid. The lid is specially treated. It has a very thin layer of solder rolled onto it, and that's what bonds in the process, permanently connecting the lid to the base plate.
What temperature does the brazing furnace reach?
Almost 600 degrees Celsius.
That means the brazing layer melts and joins these two parts?
Exactly. The parts are clamped together in the brazing machine to ensure very good contact between the cover and the base, and the components are then soldered together at around 600 degrees.
How can we picture a brazing furnace? How big is it, actually?
A brazing furnace like that fills entire rooms. I'd say the most recently acquired brazing system is roughly 15 to 20 meters long and 4 meters wide, including all the necessary peripheral equipment.
And there's a vacuum inside. Is that safe? Working with such a huge component.
The vacuum itself isn't dangerous at all. It's just necessary for the process. You can imagine the oven as a very large chamber equipped with heating elements, electric heating, that bring the components up to brazing temperature. And the vacuum is essentially like a protective gas, an airless space, which prevents oxidation of the components.
I've heard the brazing chambers need to be cleaned, and that's not as safe as I thought. Perhaps you'd like to answer Andreas or Samuel?
Regular maintenance is required. The brazing chamber is removed every 3 years or so. The oven has internal components that are taken out, and residues, mainly magnesium, are cleaned away. Magnesium burns very hot and is quite flammable, so you have to be careful.
I think to illustrate this, you can compare it to the sparklers we used to put on Christmas trees because it is essentially magnesium. It starts to burn when exposed to slight heat or sparks and is difficult or even impossible to put out.
So, not entirely without risk. Speaking of ovens, you already mentioned the largest brazing furnace is 15 meters long, or was it 12 meters?
The whole area, including peripherals, is that big. The brazing system itself has internal dimensions of about 3 meters by 1 meter. That might not sound huge, but it's still the largest brazing oven in Europe.
So the largest brazing furnace in Europe is located right in the middle of Ligist, Styria. That's quite something. You probably wouldn't guess it if you were just driving by. And what I find particularly nice is that you give your brazing furnaces names. What's the name of the largest one?
The largest one is called Donatella. All our brazing furnaces have been given women's names. I'm not sure how that tradition started.
So this oven is called Donatella and it starts with a D. You said all your ovens have names. What are the others called?
We started with Anna, our smallest system, in 2010. Then Bertha came in 2016, followed by Cecilia in 2023.
We are already looking forward to Amelia.
Is it already in production or is it just waiting in the wings? And the special thing about Donatella is that you didn't just order it from the supplier, you co-designed it. And for a specific reason, you already acquired this know-how with Cecilia, the third oven. Please tell us the story of how this happened.
Yes, the third brazing furnace, Cecilia, had actually kind of been with us for many, many years. We had our first brazing system in 2010, but to determine which brazing system we needed, the furnace supplier at the time conducted preliminary tests, and these were carried out precisely on Cecilia. This is a brazing system that was located in Malta back then. In 2022, the owner asked if we would be interested in buying it, and we did. It was a smart move.
And you got the equipment yourselves?
Yes. I was lucky enough to be there. Since I trained as an electrician, I was the first choice to help dismantle the furnace. You get to see every detail, all the components that are installed, how they interact with each other, and you simply gain a much deeper understanding of the technology itself.
How long does it take to disassemble and reassemble such a furnace? There are probably thousands of parts.
We didn't break it down into tiny pieces, just enough for container shipping, about 50 large parts. Dismantling took about a week and a half, and we had about 10 people working on it. After the system was delivered to us, it underwent a refurbishment. The oven dates back to 2000, so the mechanical structure was still fine, but the software needed updating. In very close coordination with the oven manufacturer, we essentially developed a new concept for what the software should look like, and this helped us a lot in the subsequent selection of the software for the brazing system Donatella, because we were already so involved in the subject matter.
So basically, Cecilia Plus, you've upgraded the system?
Exactly. Cecilia became Cecilia Plus, and all the lessons we learned were used to refine Donatella. I think we've now got some really top-notch technology.
That must have meant a lot of collaboration, not just with customers, but also with suppliers, especially for Cecilia. How long did it take to plan and develop Donatella?
A decision like that, to purchase a brazing furnace, isn't made overnight. First, there has to be customer demand, and you have to do the economic calculations, because these systems aren't exactly cheap. And then you start with your market screening, who actually has the potential to supply us with the system in the way we need it.
The Donatella furnace, as we mentioned before, is the biggest oven in Europe. Why would you need such a big oven if you already have three others?
Well, customer demand was there. Production volumes have increased, therefore the aim is to braze as many units as possible at once to minimize time. On the other hand, we have already reached our limits with component size, and that was also one of the reasons for going bigger.
So, now you can produce multiple components at once, and also larger ones, because there's more space inside.
Exactly. So we can now, please correct me, Samuel, produce heat sinks that are 1.5 meters long and 800 millimeters wide. We couldn't do that before.
These coolers are also used in trains, hybrid trains that run on both diesel and electric power. That means they have big batteries that need to be kept at a constant temperature, so you need large cooling plates.
Because the batteries are so big, right?
Yes, and from an economic point of view, it is better to manufacture one large cooling plate for the customer than many small ones.
So you have more options now, especially for trains and hybrid trains. Are there other possibilities thanks to Donatella?
Now we can meet customer demand without always working weekends or worrying about a furnace being out of service. We can braze twice as many units at once compared to Bertha, our previous largest oven, so we have shorter lead times and higher production volumes.
How long does the whole process take from start to delivery?
So if the material is already in-house and the heat sink is ready for series production, it takes about 8 weeks from start to finish. Pre-processing, brazing, final processing, and assembly.
So, customers have to wait about 8 weeks. I imagine that you need a very trusting customer-supplier relationship, right?
Absolutely. We have a very good customer relationship. On-time delivery is very important to us, not only for our company, but also for our customers. We also have to be flexible, because requirements can change during those 8 weeks. We're in the project business, so things can move forward or get postponed. That means we need good communication and strong relationships with both customers and suppliers. All the raw materials have to arrive on time too.
A little peek into the crystal ball. You already mentioned it, Andreas, what's now possible thanks to Donatella and what might become even more possible with a potential Emilia. What are your plans for this technology in the future, especially considering all the applications for vacuum-brazed heat sinks?
We naturally want to reach more customers. We want to continue delivering large production runs. Above all, we want to reliably supply our existing customers with high-quality products. I also think that there's a lot of potential in areas such as data centers, especially with AI and digitalization.
For anyone who's curious, where can they find you? Apart from Ligist, where can they learn more?
You can find information on our website, but also on LinkedIn, or you are welcome to visit us at our location in Ligist. Just give us a call first. We would be happy to show you around.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, dear Andreas, dear Steffi, dear Samuel, for being here today. Thank you for this fascinating conversation. Together, we are creating technologies for a cleaner planet. Thank you also, dear listeners, for tuning in. Please follow this podcast on your favorite platform. Until the next episode, take care and thank you.
This podcast is produced by WePodit.